Chapter 5. Chapters entitled Lord Rishabhdeva's Teachings. Text number 20. Tasmad bhavanturdayena jata sarve mahiyamsa amam sanabham aklista buddhya bharatam bhajadham susru sanam tad bharanam pajanam tasman bhavanto hridayena jata sarva mahiyasam amhum sama sanabham aklistya buddhya bharatam bhajadham susru sanam tad bharanam prajanam. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. My dear boys, you are all born of my heart, which is the seat of all spiritual qualities. Therefore, you should not be like materialistic and envious men. You should accept your eldest brother, Bart, who is exalted in devotional service. If you engage in Bart's service, your service to him will include my service, and you will rule the citizens automatically. Purport. In this verse, the word Hridaya indicates the heart, which is also called Uda, the chest. The heart is situated within the chest, and although instrumentally the son is born with the aid of the genitals, he is actually born from within the heart. According to the heart's situation, the semen takes the form of a body. Therefore, according to Vedic system, when one begets a child, his heart should be purified through the ritualistic ceremony known as Garbhodana. Rishabhdeva's heart was always uncontaminated and spiritual. Consequently, all the sons born from the heart of Rishabhdeva were spiritually inclined. Nonetheless, Rishabhdeva suggested that his eldest son was superior, and he advised the others to serve him. All the brothers of Bart Maharaj were advised by Rishabhdeva to adhere to Bart's service. The question may be asked why one should be attached to family members, for in the beginning it is advised that one should not be attached to home and family. However, it is also advised Mahiyasam Paro Rajo Visheka. One has to serve the Mahiyan, one who is very spiritually advanced. Mahat Seva Dwaram Ahor Vimukta. By serving the Mahat, the exalted devotee, one's path for liberation is open. The family of Rishabhdeva should not be compared to an ordinary materialistic family. Bart Maharaj, Rishabh's eldest son, was specifically very exalted, and for this reason the other sons were advised to serve him for his pleasure. That was to be their duty. The Supreme Lord was advising Bart Maharaj to be the chief ruler of the planet. This is the real plan of the Supreme Lord. In the Battle of Kurukshetra, we find that Lord Krishna wanted Maharaj Yudhisthira to be the supreme emperor of this planet. He never wanted Duryodhana to take the post. As stated in the previous verse, Rishabhdev's heart is Hridayam Yantra Dharma. The characteristic Dharma is also explained in Bhagavad Gita. Surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To protect Dharma, Pravitranayam Sarunam, the Lord always wants the ruler of the earth to be a devotee. Then everything goes on nicely for the benefit of everyone. As soon as a demon rules the earth, everything becomes chaotic. At the present moment, the world is inclined towards the democratic process. Same thing. It's a synonym for Democrat. At the present moment, the world is inclined towards the democratic process, but the people in general are all contaminated by the modes of passion and ignorance. Consequently, they cannot select the right person to head the government. The president is selected by the votes of ignorant sudras. Therefore, another sudra is elected, and immediately the entire government becomes polluted. If people strictly follow the principles of Bhagavad Gita, they would elect a person who is the Lord's devotee. Then, automatically, there would be good government. Rishabhdev therefore recommended Bharat Maharaj as the emperor of this planet. Serving a devotee means serving the Supreme Lord, for a devotee always represents the Lord. When a devotee is in charge, the government is always congenial and beneficial for everyone. End of purport. Om Agyan. So, Rishabhdev, who was actually an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is acting both as the Lord and the spiritual master, particularly in relationship to his family members. He had 100 sons, of which 10 were very spiritually adept. And out of those 10, the one that was the most advanced was mentioned here, and this was Bharat Maharaj. This planet is known as Bharatvarsya, named after Bharat Maharaj. Such an exalted personality. So the rest of the family members, the sons, who are also quite qualified, are being asked to serve the one who is most qualified, and that way fulfill the desire of the Lord. This is the way of success in devotional service, to fulfill the desire of the Lord. This is the foundation for all spiritual progress, is to somehow or other understand the instruction of the Lord and to carry it out to the best of one's ability. Of course, we say that very easily, but it's not as easily done as said, because of our own tendencies, because of our own attachments, because of our own misconceptions, and of also how to interpret what Krishna wants for us. We have a tendency to redefine it in our own way. Therefore, it's important to always hear very carefully from those who understand what is the desire of the Lord and how best to carry it out. That will make one's progress in spiritual life very, very easy. Whatever austerities we may perform, whatever activities of sadhana that we may engage in, is meant to purify our consciousness so we can serve the Lord according to His desire. If we're performing so many austerities and penances and at the same time doing nice sadhana, but at the same time not recognizing the needs of the spiritual master, the instructions of the spiritual master, or the desire of the Lord, then we're not really coming up to the standard. So here this verse is very instructive, that one must make the Lord's desire one's desire. This is called oneness. People reinterpret, or we might say misinterpret, the principle of oneness. Oneness is that one becomes merged with the Lord. One loses one's identity. One merges into some impersonal liberation. This is not real oneness, and it's artificial. No one can do that, because the identity of the living being always remains, even within the state of what we say liberation or merging. The drop always remains a drop, although the drop is still in the ocean. The drop may be within the ocean, but it's still a drop. One may not be able to distinguish it, but still the drop has its individual existence within the ocean. So that type of oneness is not recommended, nor is it progressive in one's spiritual life. Here, a real one is to make the desire of the spiritual master, to make the desire of the Lord one with one's heart. This is real success in Krishna consciousness. This is real oneness. That just like we might use a material example within the family, we have the family members. So their father is working, trying to provide for the family members. The mother is supporting the household, taking care of the children, and the children are assisting the parents and making the household run nicely. So everyone is contributing overall to the overall welfare of the household. So there's a type of oneness of principle or purpose that makes everything what we say. They use the word nowadays synchronized. Make everything what we say harmonized. And so that is real oneness. When everyone is desire, everyone's activities, although may be different, still they're harmonizing with the desire of the, what we say, the good of the whole. So in this case, the good of the whole is Krishna, or Krishna's desire. And Rishabhdev's giving instructions how to do that. Serve your elder brother. He is meant to be ruled the world, so you assist him in his service. He has a big responsibility. So therefore, they have to put aside their own, maybe individual desires, and in order to fulfill, what I say, that desire that is very pleasing. That is Krishna consciousness. Sometimes devotees get into the wrong mood within devotional service. We get into the enjoying spirit. The enjoying spirit is a concept that comes with having a material body, wanting to be the enjoyer. Of course, the soul is by nature full of enjoyment, and when it comes in contact with the material energy, it tries to enjoy separately from the Lord, and that is called material life. But that spirit of enjoyment, sometimes when it's applied within devotional service, makes one somewhat outside of the instructions of the Lord. Sometimes we see people take up devotional service according to what they like. That may also be very, what we say, nice in the beginning. As one begins in spiritual life, one may serve according to what is pleasing to them. And Krishna and the spiritual master encourages that at the beginning. But as one makes advancement, one has to start to think in terms of what is pleasing to the Lord, what is pleasing to the Lord's devotees, how to best to serve for the benefit of others. And that is real Krishna consciousness. And that takes giving up one's own personal desires and one's own personal motivations. And it becomes very, very subtle, we see, in the finer aspects of Krishna consciousness, when one has given some responsibility, how best to execute that responsibility in such a way that everyone is benefit. Not that I am benefit and then let everybody else, well, if they get some benefit from my benefit, then that's nice. But no, the consciousness is that one should see to execute devotional service for the welfare of others and for the pleasure of the Lord. That is real devotional service. Ayabilad sita sunya gyanakamaranavritam anukulena krishna silanam bhakti uttama. This is pure devotional service. We are not interested in mixed devotional service. Sometimes people say, well, Prabhupada built a house for the whole world to live in. That means everyone can somehow or other fit within the under the shelter of Srila Prabhupada's ISKCON. But then again, the real ISKCON is Lord Chaitanya's movement to purify the heart and come to the platform of pure devotional service. So everyone may take shelter, but everyone is meant to make progress. Everyone is meant to make progress up to the ultimate goal of life, which is pure devotional service. Unless one comes to the platform of purifying their heart of all selfish and and self-centered desires, one cannot fully taste the happiness in Krishna consciousness. One can make advancement, but then again, one will be forced to take another birth, maybe a good birth, and again continue. But why risk that? Why be less than surrendered? Actually, there is all benefit in surrender. There's no benefit in not surrendering. Surrender actually means my best welfare. Because the nature of the living entity is to love and serve God completely. And when that love and service is done with a desire to please the Lord, that is very pleasing to both the Lord and to the devotee. In fact, the devotee gets more pleasure, gains more or as much pleasure as the Lord does in serving the Lord, because that is the nature of the living being, to serve the Lord without any personal motivation. Of course, this is, when we speak like this, we're speaking of something of the ultimate principle of bhakti or the goal of bhakti. But what it means is to be carefully take in inventory and see what we need in order to free ourselves from our own personal selfish interests. Selfish means self-destructive, actually, because the self is not the body. And the self is actually the soul. There are people who think, just like material life means, you see, material life just centers around the individual. It's me. If there's somebody who gets some benefit from my activities materially, then that is nice. And I feel happy about that also. But ultimately, the center is me. You know. But that is not... There's this story of the miser. The miser, he's the most selfish of all person. And so one day a miser, he's drowning. So a boat comes along with two people in to save the miser. So the miser is trying to somehow or not drown. And so the man in the boat says, give me your hand. And the miser refuses to give his hand. Give me your hand. And the other guy says, what's wrong with him? Give me your hand. He says, no, he's a miser. You don't say give me, you say take my hand. Take my hand. Because he's thinking in his way of a miser, take my hand. You know, so. Some people think in terms of what is beneficial for oneself. But that is not very easy to get rid of that consciousness. Therefore, one has to associate with devotees who have developed that mood of service. Sadhu sangha sarva sastri hoy. Lava matta sadhu sangha sarva siddhi hoy. The association of the Vaishnavas is so essential. It's so important. It's probably the most important thing. We're chanting, we're reading, we're serving. But the association of devotees who are fixed in Krishna consciousness is like a goldmine of so many opportunities for spiritual advancement. And sometimes people see it as the opposite. They think it's difficult. Or I would rather not associate. It's, you know, there's so much, difference of personalities or differences of, you know, seeing how to see things. And sometimes there's conflict. But actually, the association of devotees, especially, of course, it's recommended those who are advanced, is the foundation for all success and happiness in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada said three things are very essential in Krishna consciousness: association, association, and association. You can write those three things down. So it's important, association. Because in association we learn so much. In association we become purified. Association is like a mirror in our own heart. It helps us to see where we are. Just like, I'll give you a personal example. Aha, this is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Is that after, when I leave Radha Gopinath and I go back and I'm traveling and preaching for a year, and then when I come here again after being away for a year almost, you know, I start to think, you know, when I come back into this association, I start to feel, you know, before I come back, I'm starting to think, you know, I'm okay. But when I come back here, I realize how I'm not okay. Because when you go into a pure area, your contamination is seen easy. When you're in an area where everyone's contaminated, you look good. Yeah, you look like the lower people are, the better you look. But when you come into an area with people that are pure, and the atmosphere is pure, and the mood is fixed on the proper etiquette and the proper enthusiasm for service, you can start seeing your own anarthas. You can start seeing your own contaminations. And then you either do one or two things. You run and hide, or you take shelter and pray for Krishna's mercy. So you can somehow or other accept the fact that, you know, you've got so many problems. And here's the hospital. This is the medicine that you need. And so that's important, to take association with advanced devotees who are fixed in devotional service, who know nothing but how to please and serve the Lord, who are free from false ego, or free from selfish interest, who are absorbed in devotional service. Trushusha Saradanasya Vasudeva Kataruchi Shanyat Seva Bipa Punya Tirtana Sevana. This verse from the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam says that by serving great souls, great service is done. And by such great service, what happens? What do you get from that great service? You get attraction to hear about the glories of the Lord. We want that. To hear the glories of the Lord is available, but the attraction, the eagerness, the intense desire to hear the glories of the Lord come by way of serving and pleasing the great souls. I just received a letter, you know, an email, and one girl was asking, you know, how can I get mercy? Is there any other way to get mercy other than praying? Yes, there's many ways to get mercy, and that is by serving those who are fixed in Krishna consciousness. That is the best way to get the mercy. And of course, just the mood of service is always very pleasing. So we have to develop that mood of service, not the mood of enjoyment. Krishna consciousness is very enjoyable. But the key to enjoyment is not to try to enjoy. If you try to enjoy, you actually miss the mark. You may get something, but the real happiness comes through service. And then automatically you find so much pleasure in that. Everything is nice when we're fixed on how to serve nicely and in association with devotees who are fixed. So to purify our consciousness from personal motivation, and the most powerful way is in association of devotees. Here, Rishabhdev, he has so many sons, and they're associating with each other, but they're recommended to take association from that supreme of all of their brothers, Bharat Maharaj. Just like even today, many Prabhupada disciples who had association with Prabhupada, many of them may have gone away in one sense, in the sense that they're not so fully engaged as they were, or maybe doing other things. But still, they're very much, in one sense, they're very connected to Krishna consciousness through whatever association they had with Prabhupada. Just we were hearing how just a small association with Srila Prabhupada changed the life of so many people. How when Prabhupada was traveling by plane. He stopped in, was it Greece or Tokyo? Was it Greece? Fiji. Acha. In Fiji, and he met one man, and 20 minutes, half hour of association, and he instructed the man and started his temple, which he did, simply by Prabhupada's association. That one man who met Srila Prabhupada on the park bench. Remember that story, how when Prabhupada first began his movement in New York City, he was practically, he was alone. And he was sitting on the park bench. There was no temples. There was maybe a few, not hardly any followers. Prabhupada was just preaching and doing programs at Dr. Mishra's ashram. So one day he was sitting on the park bench and one train conductor sat next to Prabhupada. And the man, you know, was sitting there. He was curious, and he started asking Prabhupada about who he was. Prabhupada told him, he said, "Yes, you know, I have a spiritual movement. I have 108 temples, but they're not manifested yet." Prabhupada said it with great assurity. They're not manifested yet. So the man was thinking, "Oh, well, he's a nice man, but he's not talking very sensibly." It's interesting because not long ago, well, maybe about 6 or 7 years ago, I received a letter from one person who was in prison. And this person had been going to the temple in Seattle, Washington. And that same train conductor, who was quite old at that time, came into the temple one day in a very excited state, walked all the way up to Prabhupada's Vyasasan and started to rave in a very excited way. "He said he would do it. He said he would do it. I didn't believe it. He did it. He did it." He was like going mad, glorifying Prabhupada, because the same person who had met Prabhupada many years earlier. And then he realized, hey, Prabhupada did it. So he was quite happy. So this is the quality of association. Of course, we should be happy associating with any devotees. Devotees are devotees. Devotees are special. Pure devotees are very special, but any devotee, anyone who is seriously engaged in devotional service, even if they're not pure, if they're serious, then we should seek out their association. That's important. Because we can, anyone who comes to Krishna conscious and is serious, is then they're actually considered saintly. They're actually considered to be a mahatma, one who is serious in devotional service, a great soul. So association is so important. And the opposite is Atsat Sangha Tyaga, and the association of non-devotees is also very powerful in the negative way. We see, sometimes people ask me, "Well, how, you know, I work in the world, I have family, how can I, you know, avoid such association with people who are materialistic?" Well, Prabhupada explains that what is the actual definition or the real meaning of association. Association means to develop affection for. If you develop affection for or friendship with materialistic people, then you will be affected by that association. So there's a type of association which is necessary in order to carry on one's materialistic activities. But one should not go deep into a relationship with those persons, because if one does, then one will be disappointed. One's heart will not be happy. Because in that association, you find that there are certain things, types of conversations that come up which just are contrary to your desire to cultivate the proper mood of devotion. So in such association, you can give association, but don't take association. Give association means they take your association and you can preach to them and help them come up, but don't let them take you down. But generally, it's better to make friendships with Vaishnavas or those who are practicing Krishna consciousness. And then you can develop real friendship. And that friendship will be a source of your happiness and your progress in spiritual life. And sometimes people say, well, what am I going to do? It's my mother and my father and my family members. So how do I avoid that? Well, that's a problem. I wish I had a perfect answer for that. But then again, you read that actually anyone who, is adamantly against your spiritual life, you should avoid such association, even family members. So even the real family is the spiritual family. We have a material family. There's so many stories in the scriptures of how the temporary nature of material family life relegates one to a position of compromise. It forces one to compromise just for the sake of family. So do what's necessary, but find your real happiness and association in your spiritual family. We have a wonderful family. And this Prabhupada is the grandfather, and there are so many fathers, and there's so many uncles, there's so many brothers and sisters, there's so many friends within the family. So we can, because we have something in common. The common thing is that we're interested in getting out of this material world. We don't want to stay here. We're not trying to make a nice arrangement. We're not coming to Krishna consciousness to get some intelligence how to be a better materialist. People do come to spiritual life in order to further their material desires. But actually, you'll be disappointed because even the best material situation leads to suffering. Even the person who is best, we might say, who is bestly situated in material life? Is it the persons who are rich? Is it the persons who are famous? Is it the persons who are just have what they need and not more? Is it the persons who are free from all responsibilities? Who are the best, who are the happiest persons in material life? Anybody know? Who are the happiest persons in material life? It's actually, they say that that is the happiest people in the material life is the gross fool. Because he's so stupid, he cannot realize he's not suffering. So he's happy because of his ignorance. Yeah. Bhagavatam says there's two kinds of people who are happy, the pure devotee and the gross fool. Yeah, it's in the Bhagavatam. The gross fool, he's so ignorant that the fact that he doesn't even know he's suffering, therefore he thinks he's happy. But everyone else is trying to become happy. But they're not happy, and the gross fool's really not happy. He just thinks he's happy. But real happiness is on this is purification of the heart, devotional service to the Lord. And therefore, we should very eagerly seek out association with great souls. It's so important. And what is that quality of that association? Try to render service. Hear and render service. This is the two most important things. Hear and render service. Hearing about the Lord, hearing about the Lord's devotees, and rendering service in that association. That's very purifying. Okay, so these are some simple points in Krishna consciousness. Any questions? Comments? Should I speak more or should... Yes, question.
Hare Krishna, Maharaji.
Hare Krishna.
Maharaji, you mentioned that it is that ultimately we have to leave this world and that should be our desire that we should reach spiritual world.
We should want to make advancement to the goal of life.
in one of the lectures, what I learned was that it is a matter of consciousness. That if, let us say, if we are situated here in Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir, and if we are feeling that, yes, the Lord is there, the devotees are here, then this is no different than Golok Vrindavan.
Right.
And so if we have that kind of a consciousness, then is there a need to leave the world and go try and think that, yes, I should go to a spiritual world?
The question is that if we have that kind of consciousness that here in Radha Gopinath Temple is the spiritual world, then what is the need to leave this material world and go to the spiritual world when you're already in the spiritual world? Yes, but don't leave Radha Gopinath Temple either. If you do, you'll notice outside is a little bit different. You don't even have to think about the difference. It hits you strongly. So yes, this is the spiritual world. Prabhupada is here, and Sri Sri Radha Gopinath is here with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityananda, the Lord in his different forms and incarnations, the pastimes, the atmosphere, prasadam, service, the books, activities. I mean, just stay. Don't go anywhere. You're in the spiritual world. Yeah. And then we read about the great souls. They're not interested in going back home. They're just happy to associate with devotees life after life and engage in devotional service. So we have to, if we have that understanding, yes. Actually, the desire to go back home, back to Godhead, is not the ultimate in spiritual desires. The ultimate in spiritual desires is just to want to serve the Lord according to the Lord's desire. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he prays, Nadanam Najanam Nasundarim Kavitam Vajagadisha Kamoye Manma Janmini Ishwari Bhavatad Bhakti Rahaituki. I don't want wealth, I don't want fame, I don't want followers, I don't want sense gratification. I don't even want liberation. What do I want? Your devotional service, life after life, wherever that may be. Haridas Thakur prays, and or Lord Brahma plays, let me take birth as a blade of grass in Vrindavan. So the gopis, when they go out doing their chores, they will put their lotus feet on my head. And that way I will achieve perfection. Haridas Thakur says, just give me an opportunity in whatever life I'm born in to be able to take the remnants of your pure devotees. So, yeah, the highest spiritual principle is to want to be able to serve somewhere. Because service is so pleasing and so satisfying that one doesn't look for anything else besides that. So we have to see, what is our attachments yet. We have to try to get rid of those attachments so we can actually come to that consciousness. But Maya is strong. Maya is strong. So therefore, take shelter of the association of devotees and engage nicely in devotional service. Yes.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Thank you for a wonderful class.
Hare Krishna.
Maharaj, you said that hearing is important.
Hearing
is important.
Yes, and very important.
One side, we said that the material senses that we have, all the five senses, are imperfect. Finally, to hear, we are using one of the senses, that is the ears, to hear them.
Mm-hmm.
So, in one sense, I was asked a question that's contradictory. How do you answer this question?
Well, yeah, Cheto, Darpanam, Marjanam, that the process of purification and the process or the success of that purification is the same. When one becomes purified, what does one do? One hears and chants. So the means to get to that stage of hearing and chanting is to hear and chant. So the means and the ends are the same. But in the conditioned state, the hearing and the chanting is not what we say perfect because of the attachments, the desires, the contaminations. So we have to hear in order to become purified so we can really hear. It's like, gradually, it's a the dust from the mind is being cleansed through the hearing process. The heart is becoming pure. The desire to serve is being awakened through the hearing process. So we hear in a conditioned state, but hearing in a conditioned state is different than hearing in a liberated state. The process is the same, but the consciousness is different. So in the hearing and the conditioned state, we're still not getting the pure message. We can't perceive the pure message, but we have to keep hearing. Just keep hearing. Just keep doing it. It works. So apply the process, and in due course of time, the results will come like that. Yeah. It says that when you hear enough, you chant. And when you chant enough, you remember. What is it? Sravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam. The goal is to remember Krishna. The goal of Krishna consciousness is to always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. It starts with hearing. When hearing becomes what we say packed up, when we get enough purification from hearing, then we want to chant. And that means preach. Then we want to speak about Krishna. And when we want to, and after we speak about Krishna enough, then through that speaking, then we start to remember more and more and more. So this is the process. In the conditioned stage, it's not, we're not experiencing the happiness or the enthusiasm, but the process works. So just stay in the process, that's all. Gradually it will work. So hear as much as possible. There's no limit to how much you can hear. It's not that you have to, you can only hear so much and that's enough. No, you can hear 24 hours a day. And then when you hear enough, you'll start to chant. Your chanting will take the form of speaking about what you hear. And then when your speaking becomes perfect, and then you can remember as much. And of course, it's all relative. But at one point, when speaking becomes perfect, remembrance starts to manifest. And then there's five stages of remembrances, until the ultimate stage of remembrance, which is samadhi. Samadhi is the ultimate stage of remembrance. So that's the process. And then when you're remembering, whatever you hear, it's just nectar. Hearing, chanting, remembering. I just revealed the secret. That's the whole secret of Krishna consciousness. Hear, chant, and remember. Any more questions? It's a secret. It's an everybody knows the secret. It's a spirit, but only those who are fixed in that principle can understand the importance of the message. It's an open secret. Any more questions? Okay, yeah. 9 o'clock, right on time. How about that? Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.